Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
Joe, I am your GM here on Fifth Watch. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield, and you can check out my podcast, WTF Anime.
My name is Alan Sells, and I play Jace McGuire, God Ranger Blue Athena. You can find me at Alan_Sells on Twitter.
I'm Eli, I play Kronos, and you can find me on Twitter at TheVikingBear_. And be sure to check out my other shows, Hoof and Sword and SHU Podcast.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Mitch Carver, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkieWit.
Hello, my name is Raphael Johns. I'm playing Gwen Smith, Godsent in this, and you can find me as like Twitter at Eldritch Roth. Other than that, there's a Tumblr that I'm going to set up that you can follow. I haven't decided on the URL yet. I'm very beautiful. Thank you.
Huh. Would not have thought that. That's really good to know.
Yes, that is... Well, who killed him in your timeline anyway?
Oh. Damn, that shit's wild. I do have another question for you.
Certainly.
Oh, well, two questions. The first, are you sure that we can't bring Leo back with us?
They incline their head up to where Leo and Jace are just kind of flitting around.
Yes, their story has ended, and
all right.
Nothing we can do can change that.
Second question. I'm no longer Ashley Valmont, and it's not fair for him and his family to not exist.
Ah, we could reinstate them in time. That wouldn't be breaking any rules. Unfortunately, Ashley's body still remains within your timeline, changed as it is.
Can you unmake me and make me in a new body?
You would have to understand that sacrificing the body that you currently have in exchange for a new one would still remove someone from time.
What about someone who their time has already passed?
Their story has ended and their body is doing one of my siblings' works. There may come a time very soon where we would be able to reinstate Ashley Valmont, but you must understand that presently you are about 20% to your other Kronos's 80%. Therefore, that being only exists once. Having two people with the same body in a timeline causes all sorts of complications that we cannot bring about onto a timeline. There may be a time very soon where Ashley Valmont may you yet live again. That is entirely up to your decision.
Okay. I guess that's the best I can hope for at this point.
We understand the emotional connection that Leo and Jace share, but why would you fight for that?
Because he's my best friend. And after everything he's done for me, it's the least I could do. If the roles are reversed, he'd do the same.
Interesting. One other thing interests us.
And they incline their head towards Mitch.
You don't remember anything of the other world, do you?
Just this one, no.
We're curious why that is. We don't have any answers, but we're curious all the same.
Well, I guess that helps. You know, if some great cosmic being also doesn't know, that makes me feel better. I'm not alone.
It's because you're one of a kind, Mitch.
Thanks.
That is categorically untrue, but we have our suspicions.
And they look between the two of you.
Damn.
That was rude of us, but...
A little bit, yeah.
It needed to be said.
Be cool, history, be cool. All right? Shit. One additional question. I have a lot of questions, so I'm trying to pick and choose.
That is understandable.
Yeah. What happens if the Edragast come to our timeline?
Life in your timeline will certainly be consumed.
Is there any way to stop it?
We are working on several realities where we are trying to stop it. If you could provide any assistance in your reality, then that would certainly be appreciated.
I'll do what I can.
Or will. How long do you think they'll be up there?
About that time, Cupid sets down with Jace in his arm. The helm puffs away so that Leo's face is revealed. They've both been crying, laughing. And when he puts Jace down, the entire mantle poofs away and is tied around his neck in a very familiar-looking ascot.
So that's it, then. I wouldn't want to go out any other way.
It's never it, Leo.
I'm sorry, Leo.
You know, I don't want to say it feels like okay and right, because that's definitely not true, but I think... I'm handling this, like, way better than I should.
Yeah, you're handling it a lot better than I would be. Just straight up.
Maybe there's something keeping me strong, and they take Chase's hand.
The Oracle said, "Your rose shall bloom in the deepest of winters, and shine pink as a virgin's lips. Bright light cannot shine forever. So enjoy it while you can."
You are such a nerd. And I like that about you.
Leo, I know we don't know each other that well. Like, we've sat together at lunch a couple times and we had English class together that one semester. But you're really cool. And you and Chase are really great. And I'm sorry you have to die? We all have to die in this timeline, but apparently there's more of us and there's not more of you, and that sucks, buddy. I think he goes over and he gives Leo a hug, too.
He hugs you back. I mean, even if it was just a few lunches and an English class, it's been a good time. You're very cool, Mitch.
Thank you. You're the coolest. I'm the AV club president. What does that get me? And inspired by all of Jace's beautiful poetry, Mitch says the prettiest piece of poetry he knows, which is just, "Stay gold, pony boy."
For some reason, I imagine everything this universe's Mitch says written in the back of a yearbook.
Yep. Perfection. Absolute and utter perfection.
Like, everything. It's just like there's a yearbook page and everything that Mitch says gets written down on that yearbook page.
Hey, Leo, have a kick-ass summer.
Hey, Leo, I'm the idiot that signed your book or your yearbook in the crack.
I'm the clown who came to town to sign your yearbook upside down.
A man has died.
No, is dying. There's a distinct difference.
Jace kisses Leo the final time. They both know it's the final time. But there's joy there. The sorrow and the loss have devolved into the joy of being able to know each other. And when he breaks the kiss, he says, loud enough for everyone to hear, "Our love will always be in the stars. And that can't ever be taken away from us."
I hope I got to say this enough, but I love you, Jace. So very much.
And I love you too. Forever.
Forever.
And Jace, the hardest thing he's ever done is to turn away from Leo. He will not turn his back. He cannot turn his back. But he turns away from Leo to his friends. Tries to smile. Shaky, but it's a smile. What do we need to do to save the world?
Well, first we have to put things back in their right place, and then, in broader sense, you all need to destroy a very powerful creature. And we believe in you. As long as you remember the bonds that got you to this moment. Always in stories, there is hardship. But in any good story, the heroes prevail, and we hope that this is one of those good stories.
Me too.
Me too. And Jace takes Mitch's and Ashley's hands and squeezes them very tightly.
History traces some lines in front of them, and Kronos, you can see a similar amber curtain drop in front of them. Thousands of amber threads that glitter with moments, and they draw something from their chest and place it into the curtain. Three screams pierce this moment. One is cut very short as you look around to see the source of them. You see Iris on her knees, clutching at her mouth as amber strands pull from the gaps in her fingers. You see Aiden on the ground, clutching at a leg as amber strands pull out. And you see Jason clutching at their stomach as amber strands pull from out of their chest. And the moment fades, and there is a blinding amber light that fills all of your vision. Hello everyone, and welcome back to Fifth Watch. I hope you're enjoying this kind of intense episode. It might have messed some of us up while we were recording, and I promise it chills out a little bit later. But I'm just going to do the regular mid-episode break stuff and let you get back to it. Sorry this episode is going out a little later than usual. I had to deal with some technical difficulties and kind of got a bit overwhelmed. But hey, you're listening to it, so at least it went out. If you'd like to find The Lost Library on Twitter, we are there at Lost Library Cast. You can send us an email via lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com. And as always, our music is Save the World by Cambo. Again, kind of a different high tide recommendation in that there isn't really a recommendation. I just want to say Happy Pride Month. I hope all of you are having a great one and enjoying this little entry into the festivities. So with that said, I will let you guys get back into the show. Mitch.
Yeah.
We pick back up with you. Where are you when a flood of memories hit?
We're back here in our 616 verse now?
We are.
Okay. I think last time we left me, I had gone to talk to Gwen at the bar, and I think I probably, like, caught a ride home, went back. I'm probably changing suits. Like, I went out during the day. I went out and ran errands. I'm like, I'm very slightly sweaty. It's time for fresh clothes. So I'm looking in the mirror. I'm tightening my tie. And then that's when it happens. And I'm just staring in my own eyes.
It happens very quickly. This entire other life lived, 3 years of another life lived, just play across your memory. And when you try to reach for those memories again, it's almost like a dream. You can half remember some things. What do you do?
The first thing Mitch is going to do is he's going to see if he can sketch down the image of what his mom looked like, because this Mitch has never known his mother, but the other Mitch did have a mom and a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to see if he can hold on to the memory of that woman's face, who he knows must be the same woman, even if he has no idea who she is. That comes first. That's the thing right now he most wants to hold on to.
Give me a roll plus conditions.
Roll to remember mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh. That's a 7.
It's still enough of a success.
Okay. I successfully capture down the image of my mom to, I guess, show to dad later, being like, Dad, a weird thing happened to me today. I remembered an alternate life. This is mom, right? The same mom I have. This is her. You never talk about her. Can we talk about mom?
He would still be at work. So is this like you send him a text?
Oh, no,
with
no.
That?
This is like what I am going to do later.
What you're
going to
do.
I like drew the picture of mom so that I can do that later. That mm-hmm. came first. Like while you've got it.
Yeah.
Capture that down. As many memories of alternate mom as you can get. And then it's time to get back to the team. And he calls another ride and tries to get to Cronus's clock tower as soon as he can.
Okay. We cut over to the clock tower as Jace, Cronos, and Jason experience a similar sensation. So Cronos, you pluck a moment from this curtain in front of you, and when the flash hits and the memories come over you, you look back at the curtain and it is entirely repaired and fades away. As the loud noise of somebody falling over as Jason passes out from the immense pain that he just went through. But you guys are back in your time and you're back in the clock tower.
Do I have the sensation of the memories fading away or do I retain them?
So for Cronos, the memories don't fade. You have the experience of, strangely, only 3 years. But hey, that doubles the memories that you have.
Yeah. The first thing I want to do is I'm going to check on Jace. Jace, are you okay?
Jace, when all of this happened, was hugging you. And so when Jace comes to himself, his arms are still locked around you. His face pressed into your shoulder. And he leans back and he looks you in the eyes. What was that?
That was me losing control. And I'm sorry.
And is it the same sort of deal that it feels like a fleeting dream, like all of it's going away?
Yeah.
I cannot express how sorry I am, Jace.
It was beautiful in a way. Cronos. And I'm not sure you should be sorry. You're hurt. You were hurt. But you're not alone. Not now. Not ever.
I think Cronos hugs you back, and then, like, you can hear a soft sniffle, but you can't see anything because the mask is back on. And I kind of break contact and turn slightly. Do you mind to check on Jason? He passed out, and I imagine he just went through a traumatic experience, and I don't know first aid.
Of course. And Jace runs over, and he takes the ascot off of his neck and drapes it over Jason. And I would like to unleash my powers and try to essentially put him in a dreamless sleep and stabilize his body. So I'm praying to Athena and asking her to, if not heal his wounds, because that's not necessarily her purview, if she could give him peace while he is fighting with his body.
Absolutely. And yeah, as you run over, like, he is kind of contorted as, like, where he fell around these books, and there's, like, blood dripping out of his mouth because that whole thing sucks.
Mm-hmm. So that is plus freak. My freak is a negative one, but I rolled a 10, so that's a 9.
It can be unstable or temporary, or you can take a condition to get the full effect.
Hmm. I think it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
That it just puts him in kind of a chilled out state, but it's not actually healing him. Jace was hoping for the healing, but clearly that's not going to come. And so Jace, like, lays the ascot over Jason, and it covers much more of his body than it really should by any given rights of how big you think it should be. Pallas Athena, goddess of wisdom, give this man peace while he recovers. May he not die this day. May he live to fight. May he live to serve. May he live as my brother. And the ascot glows, and his breathing becomes more even, but the blood is still there, but he is breathing much more evenly.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes off the ascot and with a flourish ties it back around his neck.
While you were praying and healing him, you have always felt like this warmth whenever you use your powers, like you are connected to Athena, like the shoot god. So there's always been a warm presence there. For a moment, there was a second presence, but just for a moment. Still warm and still comforting, but something you notice as you put Jason to rest.
But not in a death sense.
Not in a, like, dead way.
He is at rest.
Rest into him.
You imbued him with the rest.
You will rest!
And I'm not sure, but I'm going to just say that Jace was wearing, like, a zip-up hoodie, because I cannot remember what he was wearing. And he takes that off and makes it into a little pillow and puts it under Jason's head. And then he stands back up and he looks at Kronos. Even if it was a dream, he was there. And for that, you gave me more time with him. That is a gift beyond measure.
For what it's worth, I had forgotten about this until we were in the moment, but DSI didn't kill Leah. DSI was trying to protect him, for what it's worth. And I think you deserve to know that.
That's worth a lot. Thank you, Kronos.
You're welcome. I wish I could have done more.
Jace walks up, and he puts his hand on your shoulder. You did everything you could. And sometimes, that's more than enough. He's sleeping. And he turns to Jason. Athena watches him tonight.
Good. I may have another favor to ask of you later.
Always. I don't think you should be alone tonight, Kronos. Come back home with me. Please. We could call Mitch. Do a slumber party.
Actually, I was thinking about having a slumber party here. And Kronos takes out their phone and calls Mitch for the first time in like 3 days.
Jace is going to, while he's doing that, Jace is going to step to the side and order pizza.
Nice.
This is why you're the leader.
Jace, as you step to the side, Jenkins hands you a telephone. It's a really old rotary phone for some reason.
One of the keys in it, instead of having like all the numerals, like one of the little circle labels is just pizza somehow.
Yeah.
So you just spin the wheel to pizza.
It's old-fashioned speed dial.
Yep.
Thank you. You are a good rooster.
It's not a chicken.
So yeah, Mitch, as you're getting a ride over to the clock tower, your phone rings.
Oh, I have to do this in the back of like a Lyft or something. This is so awkward for that driver. Here we go.
I'm not on this phone call.
Who's Eli? Do you have to say the thing first?
Well, I guess, you have to answer.
Okay. All right. I guess that's true.
Gay chicken.
No, I think me in my personal life, I'm used to always waiting for somebody on the other end of the phone call to speak before I speak. And I'm like, no, Mitch would just start yelling immediately the second he saw Kronos' name on his phone. That's true. Kronos, where have you been? Are you alive? Are you well? How's it going, Kronos?
Hi. I'm sorry it's been a while since I talked. I'm at the clock tower. Would you mind coming over? Jason are here.
Yeah, I'm already on my way over. I should be there in like a couple minutes. Like, is everything okay?
More or less. Jason's passed out, but that's because of me. I imagine you probably have some questions.
I have a lot of questions. Did you also go sideways in time?
Yeah, that was kind of my fault.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Not just me. All right.
Yeah.
Look, I know you're like a time person of some sort. But listen, don't blame yourself. Everything's going to be okay. If you're okay, we're all going to manage. We'll figure something out. I'm not hurt by living another life, I guess. I don't feel hurt. Do you feel hurt?
That's kind of a loaded question right now. I'll see you when you get here.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to you again soon.
And Mitch?
Yeah?
Please be careful.
I will.
And I'm sorry again.
It's okay. You're back. Goodbye.
Click. Kronos doesn't like saying goodbyes.
Oh.
So Mitch is on his way. He was already on his way over. I don't have Gwen's number. So...
Jace smirks a little bit and fires off a text.
Thanks.
Gwen, if you want, or if you can, team sleepover at the clock tower. Love you. Jace. Jace also sends a text to his mother because he's afraid that if he were to speak to her right now, he'd lose it. Hey, Mom. Staying with Kronos at clock tower. Be back in the morning. I love you, moon and stars.
I do want to say for the record that Kronos' email address is kronos@clocktower.com. No, kronos@clocktower.pizza.
Perfect. I also ordered 2 cases of Mountain Dew. I figured that'd be enough.
That'd be enough probably for Mitch. I don't know if you've seen how fast he goes through it.
True.
You know what? Don't worry about it. Jenkins! Alan, I swear to God.
Jenkins walks into where you guys are. Their arms are like full of pillows.
Is the Mountain Dew fridge stocked?
Don't crosses your mind of course. Did something happen?
You're the best. Thank you. I'll fill you in later.
You hear some like commotion in the back of this library. Wood crashing down.
I'm going to immediately run that direction.
When you get there, you find a series of psychic constructs have erected several bunk beds.
You all are the best. I love you. Thank you.
So Mitch, as you arrive at the clock tower, as you're kind of heading into it, you get a text.
What is it?
It's from a number you don't recognize, but...
Oh no.
The text says... Hi, this is Iris. Sky gave me your number before she left. Sky left. I kind of don't have anyone at the moment, and I'm kind of freaking out.
Invite her over, Melissa.
Okay.
I'm going to text her back. Hey, sorry to hear that. Hope everything is cool. Do you know that big ramshackle clock tower? We're all hanging out here. You can join us.
She texts back, are you sure?
I think he would just say, yeah. Like, he's not committed enough to put an exclamation mark behind it, or unsure enough for a question mark. Just like a flat out, yeah.
Okay. At that point, stepping into the clock tower, you find the library, and you hear some commotion, clucking and such.
There is no clucking.
It feels good to be back, even if I, you know, who knows how long the last time I was here was. It might have just been a week, but it feels like a long time to Mitch.
Feels like 3 years.
Yeah. Time is a lot when you're a teenager. Like, mm-hmm. If your crush doesn't talk to you for 3 days, that's like if they got lost at sea.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry.
So he goes right towards the sound of the commotion.
As soon as Kronos sees Mitch, they run up and give Mitch a hug.
He hugs you back real tight and says, don't do that to me again.
The time thing or?
No, the time thing's fine. Don't.
Oh.
I know you like your space. Please don't give me that kind of radio silence again, if you can help it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We're here right now.
I didn't realize how long it had been until Jason showed up. I thought it had been like a couple hours. So I'm really sorry.
No, I guess that comes along with being a time deity, and I will remember that for the future.
That's still no excuse. Like, I'm not trying to use it as an excuse. It's just, I'm really sorry.
No, you have to make it up to me.
Okay.
Now it's okay.
I will.
Hey, I heard Jason passed out.
Yeah, so
Jace has moved him to a bed. Like, if you went in, you probably saw him on, like, one of the lower bunks asleep. Tucked up very carefully. Definitely got a kiss on the forehead.
He's got one of those stuffed pandas from however many episodes ago.
Yeah,
I imagine Jace was walking back to tell Kronos that, hey, Jason's on a bed, and then saw this sweet reunion, was like, nope, I'm gonna let them have that.
He went out on the balcony to do something else that we'll get to in a minute. But yes, as soon as he saw this, he went out on the balcony.
That reminds me, we should probably check on Aiden and his friend. I think they're probably going to be in the same boat as Jason.
What happened to Sky? I just got a text from Iris saying Sky wasn't around. I told her she could just come right over here. I figured, like, maybe we're all in the same weird, weird time skip boat together.
I don't know what happened, but if Jason reacted the way that he did, based on the last thing I remember, they're going to be in a similar boat.
Okay.
So we might need to track their phones or something.
All right. On it.
Thank you. Jace!
Smash cut to Jace.
This is an all points bulletin. Priority 1. Assemble. Full meeting of the God Rangers tomorrow, noon. Disaster comes to our world. We must be prepared to meet it. And he hangs up his God Ranger communicator, sighs to himself, and then just kind of leans against the wall and looks up at the stars when he hears Kronos yell his name. And he's torn. He doesn't want to stop looking at the stars. There's something there that has him completely transfixed. I love you. And I always will. And then he goes inside. And, like, the camera shows what he was looking at. And there is a small constellation in the shape of a bow with a pink star or a pink light at the tip of what should be the arrow.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter at LostLibraryCast.